Well, I think in terms of crises, one would have to start off with the ongoing situation in Darfur, Sudan, and then the ongoing conflict which is Iraq, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I think probably the third one would be the volatile situation in the Ivory Coast. All of those involve significant numbers of people in terms of people who have been displaced. For example, in Darfur, you have close to 2 million people inside the Darfur region itself, and then about 300,000 who have been displaced in neighboring Chad. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the statistics are even more appalling in that we're not even sure whether we've lost 2 million people or 3 million people because of a conflict that has gone on for about 6 or 7 years. And then in the Ivory Coast, people are very concerned about the numbers there, but also the potential for it to erupt again into outright conflict.
Looking at Darfur for a moment, what recommendations is Amnesty making?
Amnesty is pushing for three things. One, of course, is increased and better access for humanitarian organizations, especially now that we are facing a shortage of food in terms of people not being able to have access to their lands to grow and plant their seeds. Then you're also talking about security, and that really is the work that needs to be done by the African Union and its peace and security monitoring force. That needs to be enhanced in terms of its mandate and its ability to protect civilians. It needs to be better supported by the international community in terms of logistics, and it also needs to increase in numbers. The final thing on Darfur, of course, is the issue of accountability. If we do not set a clear deterrence about this kind of behavior, it's just going to be repeated again and again.
What about the DRC? Of course, that conflict has been going on for quite some time now. And, of course, there's concern following the report of sex abuse by the UN peacekeepers. What action do you think should be taken there?
There's no question that the UN peacekeeper scandal needs to be thoroughly investigated, and the UN needs to set up mechanisms and procedures for disciplining that kind of behavior, but also for preventing it. And many of these contributing countries may not have policies that clearly prohibit and educate their rank and file about what is acceptable behavior and what is not. So that's one thing. But it's also important to realize that the behavior and abuses that have been committed by the different warring factions are horrendous. And that is, we're really talking about trying to protect a larger population, in other words, the general civilian population in eastern DRC and in the other provinces, by improving and enhancing MONUC's performance, but also by trying to get the center in Kinshasa to move forward on needed critical reforms, probably more attention and preparation for elections, although there are arguments that it may have to be delayed. But I think most importantly, we do need to finally get some traction in terms of disciplining and disarming these armed factions. And of course, that means enabling MONUC to have the resources and the size to actually do it effectively.
Does Amnesty take a position on the International Criminal Court in trying to solve some of these problems?
We do. Amnesty is very pro and supportive of the International Criminal Court. We believe that it is necessary in terms of having a final arbiter and an enforcer of international justice. But I think we as an organization have no illusion about what the ICC will do. And we would hope that people realize that the ICC is a court of last resort. We do not want to get there. We would like to have national systems that actually are accountable and functioning, and we would like to have more resources going towards those kinds of initiatives. In other words, you don't want to have to deal with trying to account for how many thousands have been slaughtered. You want to have people focusing on preventing the killings from ever happening.
Does the Amnesty report address the issue of former Liberian President Charles Taylor, who has asylum now in Nigeria?
It does, both in the Nigeria section as well as in the Liberia section. There is reference to Mr. Taylor's status and to the lack of progress in terms of handing him over to the Sierra Leone Special Court. We continue to advocate forcefully for his handing over. We believe that it is essential not only for Liberia's reconstruction and development, but also to clearly set a bar of what is acceptable behavior, even by heads of states, and what is not.
The more we hear about conflicts on the continent, the more we hear about the abuse of women and often rape being used as a weapon of war. We've heard that a lot in Darfur and also the DRC, for example. Does the report look at those issues?
It does. Amnesty is working on a 6-year campaign to stop violence against women, and it looks at women abuses against women committed in conflict and post-conflict situations, but also in non-conflict situations, abuses committed against women in the family where, you know, domestic violence may not be taken seriously. There may not even be any legislation to address it, and certainly the security forces or the police do not respond to it sympathetically. We look at family violence against women in the community. So our Stop Violence Against Women campaign is featured in the annual report in that it is highlighted in each of the country report sections as a major human rights